everybody. Welcome back to Bannerbox, a review podcast run by the team here at Mad Artists. Each week, we will be kind of breaking down a different production, whether it's a movie, TV show, whatever we're feeling like. And this week, we watched Good Will Hunting. My name is Danielle, and here are the Mad Artists I have with me to help break this down today.
What's up, everybody? It's Tyler.
Hi, it's Russell.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, it's John.
Wow, yeah, just a JC right out of the gate.
It's me. That was so funny. I don't know if it picked up in the audio, but you're out of all of that, so much work, so much energy, and we're finally here. We're recording Banner Box. And you're like, hey, everybody, and then you just hear honk in the background.
And it's heard,
I did not even care one little bit.
That almost physically got me because that was very funny. But yeah, we're here. We're back. We're finally doing it. It's Bannerbox.
Now, we can't guarantee we'll be back again soon because we are opening Next to Normal, not this coming weekend, but the week after.
Let's go.
And oh, you come back again. And it's going to be probably another few weeks before we have time to do this again. So we wanted to, you know, I say we wanted to give you all a classic. Nah, the hat just picked the classic. And John and Russell, I believe y'all were the only ones who had seen this before.
Yeah, that is truth. That is truth. As soon as John put this one in the hat, I think I actually, a while back, amidst our time in playing Out of the Abyss, I think I actually told you to put this one in the hat because you were saying how much you love the movie. And I was like, aren't you still missing a third pick in the box? And you were like, yeah. And I was just like, dude, put Good Will Hunting in the hat because that movie is incredible and I'm pretty sure no one has seen it.
Dude, it's iconic.
How did y'all, I guess, like, you know, first get exposed to this?
I first got exposed to it in Family Guy when...
Amazing.
No way.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Not Family Guy, in Step Brothers.
Oh, okay.
In Step Brothers, there's this little bit where a Will Ferrell is like in therapy and he's talking about, like, he's just like, I used to work at a college and I would like walk around and I would, you know, like solve like math equations,
yep,
on like this board.
Yep.
Like,
I remember that scene, yeah, yeah, but I never knew it was a reference to Good Will Hunting.
Yeah, it's because in just it, like after he says that line, the therapist just like, is this Good Will Hunting? And he's like, I don't think so. He's like, I'm pretty sure this is the plot of Good Will Hunting. But anyway, but and the funniest thing is that was the first I'd ever heard of it. And I was like, what the heck? And so I actually like did like a little bit of a deep dive and like looked into like what the movie was.
Yeah.
And I saw that it was like Robin Williams, like, you know, Academy Award winning. And I was like, I need to see this movie. And so I watched the movie and that's how I watched Good Will Hunting.
How about that?
What about you, John? You're the one who put this in the hat.
I believe I, oddly enough, kind of just, I was looking for things to watch. And I saw that Robin Williams was in it, and
I mean, that's a selling point of any movie.
It's hard truth. And I kind of just stumbled upon it, I think a few years ago. I think it was like right in betwixt, like it was like Robin was like 21, 20 or so, because but stumbled upon it, and I've enjoyed that movie ever since. It's up there with Dead Poets Society for as far as my favorite dramatic works of Robin Williams go.
Which I'll be looking forward to seeing that at some point.
Yes.
It'll break you.
Yeah, I believe it. It's not very hard to break me. so I anticipate that will be a very easy task for Dead Poets Society.
Like a crystal orb, I am quite breakable.
I am a fragile man.
Fragile man.
No, I had heard of this movie for a very, very, very long time. This was one of those that, you know, my dad had like a list of movies that he was like, you know, I want to like show these to all the kids. But as we got older and we got busier, you know, we stopped being able to watch movies. But
sure,
this was one of them that he had always said he wanted to like show us. So when it was in the hat, I was like, perfect. I can finally actually watch this movie because everyone references it in different TV shows, different movies. Everybody talks about it.
Yes. Yeah.
This is the plumbing, the whole plumbing storyline,
yeah,
with Troy.
Yeah, Community.
That's what that's based off.
That's so ridiculous, and perfect. But I've watched, you know, I watch a bunch of sitcoms, and in several of them, they reference Good Will Hunting, like just randomly all the time. And so I'm like, what is this thing? And I did not realize until we actually like pulled it up that Robin Williams was in it. I just knew it was like a you know, essentially a self-written and starred-in thing, and that is all I knew about it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
I knew a lot about this movie before watching it. I knew the basic plot. I didn't know the specifics. I knew the basic plot. I knew Robin Williams was in it. I knew it won an Oscar. I knew it won, was written by the two... what was it? Matt Damon and Ben... I keep wanting to call him Ben Stiller.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck. I knew that they wrote this, and it, like, kind of propelled their careers. I know all the stories about it, and I know it's supposed to be goated. I just have never seen it. It's similar to American Psycho. I've seen so many clips from it, yeah. But I've never sat down and watched it.
Same. Yeah.
And it's incredible. Like, what a jaw-droppingly... Like, one of the things that I had said coming right out of it was... This is the most airtight, succinct, impressive script I think I've ever seen. Like, in my entire movie watching experience, it's while not my favorite, it's not that I don't like it. It's just not the tippy top of best movies ever. It's probably top three. I mean, this was the cleanest script I have ever seen. And it was shocking that two people with very little experience were able to come in and just abracadabra this whole thing. And it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the movie is just so heartfelt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's so earnest.
Like, you really can feel that, like this was Matt Damon and
Ben Stiller.
Ben Affleck. Gosh, why am I forgetting his name now? You cast a curse on me. This was Matt Damon and Ben Affleck just, like, sitting together, like, in a room, laughing, making jokes together, and being like, oh my gosh, you just made that joke. We're at a restaurant. We should put that in the movie. Let's make it at a restaurant. You know, you can, like, feel like, you can just, like, kind of catch those little vibes in there. Like, just, like, that's tiny little details that you're like, that was a really interesting line read. And, like, that just looked like a bunch of friends hanging out.
It was a very, like, neat balance between like a slice of life thing and a plot driven story, because it had like such intense elements of both things, but it wasn't quite just full-on slice of life like the Florida Project was,
right?
And it's not quite completely just like plot driven either. And I thought that was really interesting, because I was looking up like different reviews and people were like, yeah, it was a really awesome like slice of life thing, and I was like, I guess it kind of was. Like, yeah, a little bit.
I don't know how far I'd go down that rabbit hole, though. Because, like, the one thing I do know about this is that there's not really an antagonist. And that's interesting. That was very interesting to me. Right? Like, who's the antagonist of the show?
Will.
Yeah.
Will is the protagonist. He can't
and
be
the antagonist.
That's not how it works.
Yes,
you can't
it is.
Be the person that acts against yourself. Yeah.
Did you skip the whole conflict class?
Man
in general?
Versus
the
self.
Movie, bro. Who am I? That's the beginning.
Man versus
that man
self.
Is
who am
self
I?
Is the beginning of time.
What am I? Why am I? Tune into the Neil Breen podcast. See, I ask the questions that make y'all think. This is a game.
He's wearing a hat with a hat on it. Nothing he says is valid.
Yeah, but you know, I got him thinking.
Roasted.
No.
Boom, roasted.
No, like, I do think it has, like, elements of that, like, slice of life, because there definitely were things that did not drive the plot that happened that
I mean,
were
pretty
just
much
there.
All the bar scenes, really.
Yeah,
like,
the bar scenes, yeah.
Like, out of introducing the, like, the romantic interest, they didn't really have much to really push the plot.
Yeah.
So I can
how
see the
this
slice of life.
No, but there is... I don't get
Tyler
that.
Tyler just doesn't want to believe that he likes a slice of life movie.
No, that's not it at all. That's not it at all. It's just I don't understand the classification with this being a slice of life, because there's a clearly defined plot. Because the plot kicks into motion when he solves the equation, and then from that things
it's a drama.
Continue to develop.
Like, it's
yeah,
drama.
I think it's just a
yeah. It kicks in,
it's a rom-com.
And that's why I was saying there is a balance between, because like the plot of the equation and everything, and like his whole career, which you know could have been the plot, becomes the subplot to the slice of life. Let's figure out who he is, what makes him happy, his relationships, all of that. All of that stuff.
And that's when he asked the Neil Breen question.
My goodness.
My goodness me.
We're really doing great this morning.
Yes, we're doing really great.
Stay with it.
So this came out in 1997. It was directed by, I'm going to say it wrong, Gus Van Sant. Obviously written by Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, and stars Robin Williams as Sean and Matt Damon as Will. You can watch this pretty much anywhere that you can buy or rent, literally anywhere, and then several places with subscriptions. Just look for it, you'll find it. And the IMDb summary for this says, Will Hunting, a janitor at MIT, has a gift for mathematics, but needs help from a psychologist to find direction in his life. John.
Yeah. All right. So our director, Gus Van Sant, has directed a fair few films. I'm not familiar with him, but some of you might be. I have no idea. He has directed the TV series Overture for Something That Never Ended. As far as movies goes, he's directed a movie called The Sea of Trees, Promised Land, and My Own Private River.
I've heard of Promised Land and My Own Private River, but I've never seen any of them.
Not the last one, but I've heard of Promised Land.
He has also directed Paranoid Park. The rest are either, at least the ones that stick out, are mostly music videos and TV miniseries.
Oh, exactly. About Paranoid Park videos. That's right next to Happy Dale.
He has like 54 IMDb credits under directing, so he has a fair amount.
Nice. Well, good for him.
So, we're all, I imagine, pretty familiar with Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. But as far as their writing careers go, Matt Damon has written The Last Duel, Promised Land, Jerry, and Good Will Hunting, obviously. And Ben Affleck has written The Last Duel, Live by Night, The Town, Gone Baby Gone, the TV series Push Nevada, and Good Will Hunting.
So definitely a bunch of like, not like necessarily misses, but lesser known things after.
Yeah, they're all screenplays.
Yeah, definitely hit like the beginners. Like y'all cannot sit next to each other. I'm gonna have to separate y'all if y'all can't.
I am trying to stay invested.
So before we dive into the plot summary here, do y'all have any overarching things that you want to address first?
Despite having a lot of this movie spoiled and knowing a lot about the behind the scenes with this movie and thinking that I knew what to expect, I wasn't expecting it to get me as hard as it did. Because I even saw the, we'll get there, but I even saw the It's Not Your Fault scene. And I now granted, I did forget about it, but as soon as it started, I was like, oh my God, I have seen this in like a compilation of like best acting ever, because I watch that stuff on YouTube. And so it just really, if I was not ready for, despite knowing a lot about it, how much it was going to affect me and how emotional it was. And it was just, I just was grinning ear to ear throughout this entire movie. Even in the falling action, even in the conflict stuff where bad things happen and the main characters like just making these mistakes and you're like, oh my God, why can't you just let these people love you? Like you're still, it doesn't. Some movies in the lower parts, right, where the bad stuff happens and you're like, I know it's gonna resolve itself because that's the way this movie is kind of shot. So it's going to have a decent, happy ending. But man, this part sucks to get through. This part where it's like everyone's mad at each other and you're just like, why can't you just talk? Like a lot of times that's really excruciating. And that's like my least favorite part of the movie. But this does a really good job of being able to tell that part of the story while keeping a smile on your face the entire time. And I thought that that was extremely impressive. And I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'd never seen this before, and towards the beginning, I was kind of sitting there like, I'm not really bought in, like, I'm kind of trying to get into it, because even the whole, like, you know, math equation thing, I was like, okay, so this is just going to be, like, one of those movies, you know,
one of those math movies.
Well, no, not even because of that, but just, like, the whole, you know, prodigy, gifted stranger kind of movies, and so I was like, you know, that just that, and then him, like, you know, joking around with his buddies all the time, I was like, all right, I'm not bought in, so I hope it gets better. And then the second, I kept waiting for Robin Williams to show up the whole time. Yeah. I'm sitting there, like, when is he going to come on screen? Like, yeah. I know he's important. Like, he was in the, he was on the cover. And so I'm waiting for him to come on screen. And when he finally does, like, the first scene with Robin Williams, I was like, all right, I'm here. I'm bought in.
I love that they made you wait to see Robin Williams.
Like, he just adds so much credibility, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as, like, he comes on, like, he really brings, like, the emotion forward. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell that, like, that him and, like, Matt Damon are really, like, doing, like, a delicate dance.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yes.
Well, and also just being on screen with Robin Williams, you never know what he's gonna do at any given moment.
It's electric. You're like, I don't know. He usually makes me laugh, but this time he just might make me cry.
Well, and in the fun facts, first off, I mean, I know, Russell, you must have, because I loved it also, the incredibly long shot of that monologue of Robin Williams on the bench.
Slow.
The long, uncut shot for most of that monologue that's just on him. And as I'm watching, I'm like, oh my gosh, are they ever going to cut? This is amazing. Don't ever cut. Like, just keep it going.
I'll never let go.
And they don't. They go all the way back around to where you can see just his the profile of his face in the shot, and just, like, how crestfallen he looks and, like, hurt. You know what I mean? Because he's hearing absolute truth from a person who really, like, cares about him, and he's just like,
and understands him. Oh, like, my gosh. Like, that was the biggest thing, is that not only does he care because he has friends who care, but he fully understands his mind and is like, yeah, if I asked you about this, you'd be able to tell me something you learned from a book, and you'd be able to tell me this and this and this, but you've never experienced it. You've never felt it.
What was great too, because in that, right, it's like the camera in it, like the camera in that moment is telling a story, right? Mm-hmm. By going around, it's saying that it's like being, like, it's being moved, like the chess pieces are being moved. Mm-hmm. Because in the previous scene, Matt Damon's character completely took the power, right? By making Robin Williams end session early, right? Mm-hmm. And so he is in control. He is the one that has the power. And they go out, they sit down with each other, and he tells them this story about how he thinks. And in that turning around, it's the camera is signifying the reversal of power, where Robin Williams is like, let's make this very clear. You are not in control here. By being able to tell him that very vulnerable story. And it harkens back. It's actually a callback to in the beginning where they introduce him, where the first thing coming out of Robin Williams' mouth in the classroom scene is, how do you establish trust with your client? And it's just like, it's stuff like that. It's like, man,
well, and that too,
that's a good script.
It wasn't even so much, at least for me, it didn't read as much as Robin Williams going, you know, I'm in control now, but more of, you are not in control. Well, and less about himself establishing his power, and more about, by exposing the fact that he does know what's going on in his brain when, like, no one else ever has. Mm-hmm. He's like, look, ball's in your court. I get you, and I can, you know, actually dive in and help you.
Yeah.
If you show up, I'll help with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, essentially,
you have a chance here, bud.
Exactly. Like, opening that door for him.
Yeah. Anyway, we should get into the
plot.
Because we're already starting to talk about the plot before we even got to the plot.
Yeah, for real.
Well, 20-year-old Will Hunting of South Boston is a natural genius who is self-taught and been recently paroled from jail. He works as a janitor at MIT and spends his free time drinking with his friends, Chucky, Billy, and Morgan. When Professor Gerald Lambeau posts a difficult combinatorial, something like that? Mathematics problem on a blackboard as a challenge for his grad students, Will solves the problem anonymously, stunning both the students and Lambeau. As a challenge to the unknown genius, Lambeau posts an even more difficult problem. He later catches Will writing the solution on the blackboard late at night and initially thinks Will is vandalizing it and chases him off. Which, I actually did really like that. The fact that he looked at him, saw that he was like a young janitor boy, and just immediately didn't, like, stand there and watch from afar to, like, even give him a shot. He just immediately was like, no, like, screw you, you're messing with my problem.
Yeah.
Like,
like, it really, like, sets the tone for his character, because his character has, like, very little empathy, you know what I mean? Like, he is a very rigid character throughout the whole thing. So it's very, like funny that the first time that he meets Will, he's already distrustful of him, which lights up some things later.
I gotta talk about the way he dressed. the way that professor dressed. So he never didn't wear that weird shimmery scarf.
Yeah.
He wore it in every scene, and it had like the little like fringe on the end, but it was really thin. It wasn't for warmth. It was for decoration. And then sometimes he would wear this like black and white,
the checkered, like the cross pattern.
Yeah,
shirt.
It's like a cross pattern pullover. But then he'd wear like a gingham shirt underneath. And so it's a shimmer scarf with two different patterns. And I'm sitting there the whole time like, this has to represent something. It has to represent clash. Like there's chaos. Because in the scene where he was the most clashy, it was the bar scene with him and Robin Williams where they get into that fight. And where by the end of it, he's like, you know, well, I shouldn't have come here today. And, like, he's wearing the most clashy outfit he possibly could have into this bar. And I feel like that has to represent the fact that he's constantly just, like, you know, in conflict with the people around him or something. And, like, the more clashy he is, the higher the conflict is. I don't know. But I was fascinated by his costumes. And every scene, he walks in with that scarf and something new. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. I can't with his wardrobe. It's insane.
So, something about Lambo that I'm confirming now by looking at pictures of him.
Lambo.
That's his, isn't that his name?
That's his name. His name is Lambo.
Yeah, Professor Lambo. So the thing about Lambo that's really interesting is that every outfit that he is seen in has angular
patterns?
Linear patterns, yeah. Right? There are no curves whatsoever on the patterns that he is wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And left brain thinkers are very big on patterns, numbers, and figures, and being the embodiment of like that kind of left brain ideology, which clashes with Robin Williams's right brain, more empathetic kind of emotional side, is kind of like a nonverbal way of signifying that this is... He's not the villain by any means, because he's trying to push Will in a certain direction.
Well, yeah, he thinks he's doing the exact right thing.
He cares about him.
Yeah,
he legit cares about Will, but and his dress signifies I am the embodiment of that kind of left brain mentality, which I just it's come on, bro, that's so good, like that's so cool.
But anyway.
Anyway, at a bar, Will meets Skylar, a British woman about to graduate from Harvard who plans on attending med school at Stanford. The next day, Will and his friends fight a gang that contains a member who used to bully Will as a child. Will is arrested after he attacks a responding police officer. Lambo sits in on his court appearance and watches Will defend himself. He arranges for him to avoid jail time if he agrees to study mathematics under Lambo's supervision and participate in psychotherapy sessions. Which, that right there, the fact that he demanded, like, you also go to therapy is the thing that does, I guess, show that he does care, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
yes.
He shows it very differently from how Sean shows it, but it's essentially like, you know, showing two different sides of the same coin. Like, you know, I care about this kid. I want to help him. I want to give him a future. And there's a big difference between like the nurturing, understanding, like empathetic and the sort of tough love. I'm going to drive you forward.
Yep.
Like, you know, fix yourself and then, you know, get good kind of situation.
Get good.
I mean, that's what it felt like to me. Will tentatively agrees, but treats his therapists with mockery. In desperation, Lambo calls on Dr. Sean McGuire, his college roommate, who now teaches psychology at Bunker Hill Community College. Unlike other therapists, Sean actually challenges Will's defense mechanisms.
Yep.
During the first session, Will insults Sean's deceased wife, and Sean threatens him. I loved that.
Oh, that was so,
so
awesome.
When he's talking about, like, yeah, so that's what happened. You married the wrong woman. And Sean just straight up, like, choke slams him into the wall.
Yes, he grabs him by the throat and says, if you ever disrespect my wife again, I will end you.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, whoa.
It was so awesome.
Angry
this
Robin
not your daddy's therapist.
Oh my god.
Baba had them 40 thieves, Sherry's out of 1,000 tails.
Well, and it was even better because then in the bench scene, he's sitting there and he's like, no, I didn't marry the wrong woman, but, you know, I lost her too soon.
Yeah.
Is essentially what it was. I married the exact right woman, I just didn't have her long enough.
Yeah. Yes.
And Will is suddenly like, oh, I thought I was right, I was not. And that, like, also, like, puts him in, like, you know, a place of... okay, I thought I knew what was going on. I clearly didn't. I understand your reaction.
Yeah, but because he's so arrogant. And so then, like, when he makes that call, then, you know, Robin Williams is just like, dude, you missed the mark. And not only did you miss the mark, but you just pissed off the one person who actually wants to help you.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Like, so what are you doing? What are you doing?
Oh, I love it.
Get your stuff together, dude.
Like you said, you're a kid. You don't know anything.
Yes. Yeah. You're a kid. You never looked up at that beautiful ceiling. You've never seen it.
Yeah.
Feeling like God put an angel in the world just for you, dude.
He also did such a good job of not just saying like, oh, well, you're a kid. You just don't understand feeling at all. Like, he did a good job of saying like, it's just that you haven't had time to experience all of the things yet. And so you haven't experienced both the good and the bad and all of this. You've experienced some, but not all of it yet.
He
and
was
so,
stern,
like, you know,
but he was never disrespectful.
Yeah, he was never condescending. Mm-hmm. He never, like, talked down to him or anything like that. He was just like, listen, you know? But anyway, after a few unproductive sessions, Will finally begins to open up. Will is particularly struck by Sean's story of how he met his wife, who later died of cancer, by giving up his ticket to the historic Game 6 of the 1975 World Series after falling in love at first sight.
How about that scene
is so good, because the whole time, you know, he's amping him up and they're both like, you know, super excited about the game. And then he's like, I can't believe you were there. And he's like, well, I wasn't, because I had to see about a girl. And you could tell that, like, it hit Will in, like, a very different way, where he was like, for a second, he was just confused. He was like, why?
That was an amazing
game. Why would you miss it? And he's like, because there was something special. Like, it was real.
That scene had the best cinematography in the movie, in my opinion. Because not only were they cutting back to the actual footage of the actual show.
The camera was going around.
There were four chairs set up like a diamond.
The fun facts was that the therapy room was specifically set up like a baseball diamond. Mm-hmm. And with the table being like the pitcher's mound in the middle the whole time.
Yep. And he's running around the bases. They got the top down view and they're all excited. Everyone's amped up. And it's just like, I wasn't there.
What? Did you watch the field? And he's like, no, I was at the bar. I was talking to my new wife.
She's like, the lady who would become my wife. It's so beautiful. Oh, my God.
I love it so much. Because his whole, every time that they talked about, like, specifically, like, different romantic things and the ideas behind, like, Will jumping in and being like, you know, yeah, I think she's really cool. I don't know if I'm going to see her again because, you know, then I'll just find out that she's not perfect. And he was like, okay, but she's not. I'm going to go ahead and ruin that for you. She's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
No woman is. But there, and literally, me and Samuel looked at each other when this happened, because we have said this to each other 1,000 times, is that we know each other is not perfect, and we have seen the imperfections, like, starkly.
Yeah.
But we are perfect for each other. And so when he said that, we were like, and, like, looked at each other because we'd never seen the movie before. And we both were just like, oh, my God. Okay, cool.
Meanwhile, Mimi was looking directly at me, didn't waste any time, and was just like, you hear that, Tyler? And I was like, shut up.
Well, because it's true. You know, no partner is ever going to be 100% perfect, but that doesn't mean that they can't be your perfect person.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
right.
In spite of all those imperfections. That was another, I'll throw in this fun fact here, that all the lines about his wife farting in her sleep were improvised by Robin Williams.
How about
which is
that?
Why Matt Damon was laughing as hard as he was, because it was out of nowhere.
Really?
And it's also why the camera was shaking just a little bit, because the cameraman was laughing.
Oh,
and they were all trying to keep it together for the scene to work, because they were like, this is really sweet and cute, and like, we want to keep it, and so we can't completely break and ruin it.
That's why Matt Damon was
laughing as hard as he was, because it was not written.
That's so incredible. Oh, I love that.
She woke herself up.
Oh, my gosh.
This movie is so freaking sweet and heartfelt, man. Just
it's
like
so
thinking
honest.
Back to it, like, it just feels like an old friend. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
I love it so much. Everything
that Sean says, you know, his ideas aren't necessarily, like, you know, as he's saying them, they're not unheard of concepts, but he says them with such, like, genuine just care and, like, earnestness that it feels like a new concept, even though it's not.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is just awesome. But, anyway, so
the perfect mental character.
Yeah, very much so.
Sean's explanation for surrendering his ticket was to see about a girl, and he does not regret his decision. This encourages Will to build a relationship with Skylar, though he lies to her about his past and is reluctant to introduce her to his friends or show her his rundown neighborhood. Will also challenges Sean to take an objective look at his own life, since Sean cannot move on from his wife's death. Lambo sets up a number of job interviews for Will, but Will scorns them by sending Chucky as his chief negotiator.
Oh my god.
I sent my chief negotiator to handle it. And he's just like, listen guys, we gotta get this figured out. He's like, it's need $200 in my back pocket right now.
Retainer.
Retainer.
I'll be real. I did not realize that was him until Samuel told me, because he's dressed in a different costume. He has his hair slicked, and honestly, he kind of just has like Ben Affleck, just especially at that age, just has like
big Ben Stiller vibes.
No, he just has what I would refer to as just like basic white man face. And yeah. So I just had some face blindness for a second where he popped on screen and, you know, I see the three guys sitting George there and they're like, well, Will, you know, we want to offer you the job. And then it cuts to him and it's not Will. And I was like, who is that? Like, straight up, I leaned over to Samuel and I was like, who is that? And he was like, that's Ben Affleck. And I was like, really? And like, and I was sitting there like, yeah, oh, okay, I guess it is. He looked different. I just didn't recognize him and was like, who's this random dude in the office?
That scene has a little bit of undertone stuff going on too, because it's very funny and you have to look very closely, but all three of those guys are wearing the exact same suit, the exact same tie.
Are they really?
Well, they're not wearing the, because I did look at the ties. I was looking at costumes all throughout this. It's not the exact same, but it's almost the exact same. They're red with different pinstripe, like, stripes.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're all just ever so slightly different, but they are all, like, the same suit, and it's just, like, ever so slightly different version of the same tie.
That's so awesome.
On each person.
And you know
that's
what it does?
Symbolic in and of
yes,
itself.
I was gonna say, like, it establishes like that, like, it's just like a cookie cutter, like boring, like everybody's the same, everyone thinks the same, yep. Everyone looks the same, everyone dresses the same. And it's like, and you can get so much more out of life if you just like pursue passion and you know, like find yeah. love is the whole message, right?
Well, and Will's whole argument is that, you know, he's just like, I want to be original. I don't want to be another one of those cookie cutter like business suits. Like mm-hmm. I want to be my own person. And God, man, they just do such a good job of telling that story without cramming it down your throat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, like they're so... That's one of the things that I was going to say before we started was just this movie is so subtle. This movie is so subtle, like with its story elements. Like, you really don't learn Will's, like, past, like the real depth of his history mm-hmm. until that the very last scene of the movie, essentially. Like, the It's Not Your Fault scene is where you really learn Will's past.
Yes.
Which that scene was.
Oh, my God.
We're very close, so let me get there. Yeah. And by turning down a position at the NSA with a scathing critique of the agency's moral position, Skylar asks Will to move to California with her, but he refuses and tells her he's an orphan and that his foster father physically abused him. Will breaks up with Skylar and later storms out on Lambo, dismissing the mathematical research he has been doing. Sean points out that Will is so adept at anticipating future failure in his interpersonal relationships that he deliberately sabotages them in order to avoid emotional pain.
Yes.
Which, boy, did that strike a chord with me. he was like, you're looking ahead and you're seeing how it's going to crash and burn. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a... Feel that, bro.
And then Robin Williams slowly turns and faces the camera and is looking directly
like,
at you.
And it's just like, Danielle.
And I'm just like, oh my God.
Like, we're all frozen in time, like glitching. You're like the only one left in the room, like, oh still unconscious.
What's happening with Robin Williams? Chucky likewise, which I love this scene, Chucky likewise challenges Will over his resistance to take any of the positions he interviews for, telling Will he owes it to his friends to make the most of the opportunities they will never have, even if it means leaving one day.
You don't owe it to yourself, you owe it to the people around you.
That was so awesome. God. Such a good moment to represent their friendship as something other than just like dude bro time, you know?
Yes.
Like,
I know.
An actual like friendship where
yeah,
like
he cares
about him.
They're brothers.
years.
Yeah, where he's like, dude, I really care about you. If you're still here in 20 years, I'll kill you. Yeah, like,
I'm going to kill you. And he's just like...
He's like, what?
He's like, what? We'll kill be you. Hanging out. We'll be like living life. And he's like, no, you'll be selling yourself short when you could do anything.
Oh, and that like, line about like the happiest... Mm-hmm. The happiest I am sometimes is the 10 seconds I am mm-hmm. between the car and your door, hoping that you don't walk out.
God, yes. That's so beautiful.
That's so good. Oh, I love it.
It's incredible. Freaking Ben Affleck, man.
Yes. Woo! Will walks in on a heated argument between Sean and Lambo over his potential. Sean and Will share and find out that they were both victims of child abuse. Sean helps Will to see that he is a victim of his own inner demons and to accept that it is not his fault, causing him to break down in tears in Sean's arms. So, that scene, I want to talk about it.
Same.
So, that scene.
We all broke down in tears in Mark Bloom's arms in that moment.
That scene is such a perfect encapsulation of what it really takes to break down the, like, the walls of someone that has built them up in that way specifically. Because in reality, someone who has been through trauma does, like, you know, they've been told 1,000 times it's not your fault. So they know that that's true. Like, objectively, they know it's true.
Yeah.
They probably, if they haven't gone through therapy and really healed from it, don't actually feel it, though.
Yeah.
And so, like, as he's saying it for the first, like, few times, Will is just like, I know. Like, yeah, okay, I know. And then you see starting to get uncomfortable because the more he's saying it, he's like, okay, why are you continuing to say it? Like, I know.
No, you
don't. I know it is. And Robin Williams is just like, no.
No, look at me, son.
Look at me. It's not. It's not your fault. And he starts to think that he's like, or he starts to then do the next phase,
which is
trying to throw up harder walls and get and aggressive. And push him away and be like, no, like, you're not going to get through to the point that like,
don't mess with me, Sean. Don't mess with me.
Don't do that. Not you. And then he just keep, cause Sean knew, he was like, I know if I just push a little further,
a little harder,
I'm going to be able to help with this kid. Like, actually. And so he just keeps going. In spite of getting, like, shoved and pushed back and, like, yelled at, he just keeps pushing until it cracks through and gets through for the first wall he threw up and then the second one and finally, like, cracks it.
Yeah.
And you see the moment it cracks. Mm-hmm. Like, the moment when it finally actually goes through from just knowledge to actual, like, he actually feels that it's true.
Yeah, like, it touches his soul for just
You want to know why that's really... incredible too is the lead up to it, because the biggest emotional moment in Will's life as an adult was him talking to his girlfriend Skylar and her being like, I love you, and then he starts like getting violent and getting aggressive to try and scare her away, and it doesn't work.
No, because she's not like Sean where she understands like why he's doing that.
But she loves him.
But she loves him and also knows that it is a defense mechanism. She just doesn't know how to go around it.
Exactly. And so she got to the last wall, that last barrier, and ended up falling short because she's not a licensed psychiatrist.
Yeah,
it's not
so
her
she
fault.
Doesn't know what she's supposed to do.
It's not her fault.
It's not her fault. And then Robin Williams is just like, I've got it now.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes through. So it's like they show you getting there. And then they show you really getting there and breaking and going fully all the way through. And it's just...
And I love that so much this is something I've specifically talked with you about, Tyler, is that, you know, obviously we all have our very close friends that we want to share, like, you know, troubles and good things and all of those things and ask for help and ask for advice and, you know, and like, you know, as long as everyone's consenting to a trauma dump, kind of trauma dump a little bit and all of that. But... There is such a... I think this movie does a really good job of showing the importance of someone who genuinely has things they need to heal from going and actually seeing someone who can actually get through those walls and knows how to do it in a way to where it can help, as opposed to, you know, someone who does love you very much and is the person who's, like, closest to you and I know, listen to that squeak toy right in the middle of this. Someone who is, like, you know, loves you so much and cares so much but doesn't have the tools to actually be able to help you.
Yeah.
And how important it can be to go and find someone who does have the tools, so then you can go back to that person you care about and be like, okay, I understand now. let's talk about it in a way where I can actually understand it. And I just thought that was really awesome and just such an important and, like, again, a subtle way of showing that importance.
I mean, mirroring that exact thing. I mean, that's what got me to therapy.
Yeah.
Right? It was one of the big... Because there were a couple of things that convinced me to finally go, but one of the standout moments was talking to you and having a moment of vulnerability where I'm kind of talking about what, you know, what I'm going through. And you being like, I'm here for you. You know, I love you. I care about you. But I don't have the tools to really
to, like, fix it, to fix it, you know, it, to like right? to help you like heal from what you're going
exactly.
through.
And I was just like, man, if only there was a professional.
If only there was someone who went to school and is to licensed. Learn how to
help me fix it. It's like, isn't that a therapist? And I was like, all right, I'll go to therapy.
But, you convinced me.
You've convinced me.
But that is such an important message, and especially when this came out, like, in the 90s, oh my when, like, God. Therapy was constantly made fun of, yeah. and, like, seen as, like, this, it had, like, this big stigma to it if you went to therapy, like, oh, you must be crazy.
Yeah, men don't talk psycho. About their feelings.
Yeah, like, and, shut up. And, like, it coming out during that time and having that subtle message of, like, here's Skylar trying to do the same thing Sean did, but because she doesn't have the tools, she can't do it. And then Sean coming in and having the tools and being able to push through and just keep barreling through all the things he's throwing at him to get through the onslaught and into the, like, heart of everything.
Because he's strong, so he knows that he can take it. Like, he's like, he can push me, you know, like, he's not going to hit me. I know that he's not, like, a violent person, especially the person that he cares about.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, so I can take it. I'm just going to keep on taking it until he breaks.
Yep.
Because I have to get through that. It's just amazing, like, to see, like, the parallels between, like, because Robin Williams is such a foil to Will. Like, his heart is just, like, so open, and he's mm-hmm. so, like, willing, like, to see everybody, and he just sees right through, like, into you, right?
Yeah.
But, like, but he's looking for the empathetic route. Whereas Will is looking, like, right through you, but he's looking, like, through more of, like, the intelligence route. Like, he's breaking you down, as opposed to, you know, Robin Williams' character is kind of, like, it's just, like, understanding people.
Mm-hmm. And I just love seeing those relationships between, again, in this time period, you know, in the 90s, like, this coming out and showing this very, like, by the end of it, very caring, loving, you know, sort of father-son, but more of just, like, you know, like, almost like brothers relationship between these two, like, these two men was something that I know in the 90s, like, you know, if you got super, like, emotional with, like, you know, another, like, guy like that, people would kind of, like, make fun of it or, like, you know, joke around about, like, masculinity and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so to have this, like, on screen and so just, like, you know, beautifully portrayed, and just honest between these, like, you know, this older man and this, like, younger man who has clearly built up all these walls. I just love it. I think it's so good.
It's incredible. It's so raw, man.
It's so wonderful. But yes, so Will accepts one of the job offers arranged by Lambeau. Having helped Will overcome his problems, Sean reconciles with Lambeau, deciding to take a sabbatical. Will's friends present him with a Chevy Nova for his 21st birthday so he can commute to work, which that was so sweet.
Oh, my God.
That was
God.
Such a good scene. Yeah. Again, showing that they all do care about each other, even though they're constantly making fun of each other. And, like, yes. you know, all this stuff is just, like, you know, the I guess the facade of their, like, brotherhood. And then, like, they actually all pitched in this money to get this garbage car. He walks around and he's like, this is the ugliest car I've ever seen.
He's like, what do you think? It's your birthday. Happy birthday. It's the ugliest car I've ever seen.
It was so funny, though. But later, Chucky goes to Will's house to pick him up, only to find that he is not there, much to his happiness. And they linger on him for a long time, standing on the porch, and watch him go through all of the different things, where, like, it's the moment of realization that takes a bit, then the happiness, then, like, a little bit of a falter when he realizes, like, you know, I'm gonna miss him. And then again, just the joy of, nope, this is exactly what he needed to do, and I'm happy for him. And then, like,
I know. Yeah. You can see it all on his face. Like, he really goes through it. Like, this is the first time that I especially noticed that. He took his
time to, like, really see everything.
It was a long scene, and he only said, like, you know, like, 3 words.
Yeah.
Like, and it was a long scene. It was, like, at least, like, you know, like, 4 or 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome, man.
So good. So I love it. But Will sends Sean a letter telling him to tell Lambeau that he had to go see about a girl, revealing he passed on the job offer and instead is heading to California to reunite with Skylar.
Oh my gosh. And then Robin Williams with the final
line of the movie. The final improv line.
Stole my line. So amazing.
Oh, it's so good.
Amazing.
But that was Good Will Hunting, guys. You know. This isn't available on Prime Video, so I couldn't look at any Amazon reviews. I did pull a couple of IMDb reviews, though. So, would y'all like to hear positive or negative first?
Negative. I want to see people have to say bad about this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What can you say about
this movie? A lot of people have bad things to say, which most of it was really stupid. It was like people just wanting to go against the grain. And one person even like said that, where they were like, there were just so many 10 out of 10s, I had to throw in a 1 out of 10. And I was just like, okay.
What? You pretentious, what?
That doesn't even make sense.
It didn't make any sense. Moron. So this is the one I decided to pull. So this is from Nikki Metz, and this was way back in 2008. And it's titled, One of the Worst.
Wow.
Maybe I just don't get it, but everyone thinks I'm a freak with no soul because I hated this movie. I'll tell you why I hated it. First off, I began to literally fall asleep in the middle of the movie because this movie was very boring. The story sucked. I don't see how these guys won a best screenplay for this. The dialogue was painfully forced and unrealistic. Am I supposed to laugh at the "how do you like them apples" line? Am I supposed to feel a sense of accomplishment for the character? Instead, with that line and the whole scene and the rest of the movie, I was just saying WTF. Now, not to mention that scene in the bar again, but who has conversations at a bar like that? We're talking about, like, the whole between the two, the, like, douchey guy and
they live in the
Will.
Same neighborhood as Harvard University. Like,
well,
that's the
she says here, not even Harvard attendees talk like that at a bar. They're busy doing keg stands and playing beer pong. Where Nikki. Were the basic elements of a good story in this? Rising action, climax, falling action, character development, protagonist, Nikki. Antagonist. Is anyone with me on this, or am I alone in the world? 1 out of 10.
You're alone and a moron. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Wow. Wow.
I'm gonna write it down.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's infuriating because she's an idiot. That's such a bad, dumb take by a bad, dumb person.
Come on. Most of them were really bad, like, and so I just pulled, like, the one that was just... That at least seemed like
some supporting,
right? Like at least something, because most of them was just like it was ridiculous, and I was like, okay, I'm not gonna pull that. Like yeah. That's stupid.
Maybe
but,
it's not for me. Yeah, maybe.
Clearly,
maybe,
it's not
Nikki,
for you.
Maybe it's not.
I mean, that comment wasn't for you.
Yeah.
Well, this one is from Ron Dean. This was in 2001, and it's titled, This Movie Has a Brilliant Script.
Now that's more like it.
It appears the jury is hung. Many people either loved or hated this movie. I can tell you why I loved it. First of all, the script. I think it had a real slice of life and brilliance in it. Sorry, but some people do use four-letter words to express themselves, because apparently that was a big complaint. And no, it doesn't mean that's because they lack intelligence to use anything else. I can rise to the occasion anytime I need without profanity, but it is how I think and speak in my day-to-day life. The language shouldn't even be an issue. If that's all you heard, you weren't listening. The brilliance in it is everywhere. For example, William's character putting Damon's character in place by noting that he sneers at things that he has no real-life experience with. I know people like that. Then moments when he, Sean, says gems like, I'll save you the suspense sport. She isn't perfect and neither are you. The question is whether you are perfect for each other. The question of relationships and life career decisions, the courage to risk and overcoming whatever your background is, are all a part of real life. This isn't supposed to be about genius or some, you know, white trash, as someone else said. It's about love, life, and courage. Courage to ante up and try again, no matter how many times life knocks us around. The acting, direction, and script are wonderful. They definitely deserve the Oscar for this. It has soul, it has meaning, and I'm sad for the people that didn't get it. As the movie American Beauty said, look closer. Look closer.
Look
10
closer.
Out of 10. Closer.
What was his name?
This was Ron Dean.
Ron, you win. You're right.
That's more like it, Ron.
Ron said in just 3 minutes what it took us an hour to say.
Yes.
Well, let's all give an applause for Ron.
Round of applause.
Wow, John didn't participate.
So it we talked about it a little bit, but it did win 2 Oscars. Robin Williams won Best Supporting Actor, and Damon and Affleck won Best Screenplay. It was nominated for a ton of other Oscars, and it won a bunch of other like smaller awards. What do you guys think this is rated critically on Rotten Tomatoes?
8.7.
That's not out of 100.
It's a percentage, bro.
Oh, it's out of 100. Well, if that's the case, then it's a 93.
Okay.
I'm going to say 91.
Okay.
What? Yeah, the critics are cruel sometimes. I'm going to shoot at like a... I don't want to prices right you, but 90.
Well, it's going to be Tyler because it has a 97%.
Oh, thank you.
It's very high. Good. And now audience score out of 100.
I think the audience score is going to be slightly lower. I think it's going to be 89.
Okay.
I'll stick with my first number of 87.
We'll go with 93.
Well, that's going to be John because it's 94.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
Wow.
Okay.
It's pretty high. And IMDb out of 10.
Really cynical.
9.6.
Okay.
9.5 and a half. No. 9.3.
Okay.
9.2.
Well, it's going to be Russell that time because it's an 8.3. It's a little lower.
Wow, a whole point.
You disappoint me.
Ain't it just?
Yeah.
Disappoint?
Well, so the budget for this movie was $10 million, and it made $225.9
million.
Baby! Woo! Made a ton of money.
That's a pretty overall success.
Yes, definitely.
Pretty good haul.
So I have some fun facts here. In 2014, after Robin Williams died, the bench in Boston Public Garden where he and Matt Damon had their conversation scene became an impromptu memorial site. People left flowers, quotes, and various items at the bench, and a petition has been passed around to erect a statue in Williams' memory near the bench.
Oh,
I think that's really sweet.
God, that would be incredible. So sweet.
The first day of shooting, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck started crying out of happiness because it was a scene between Robin Williams and Stellan Skarsgård, accomplished actors, doing Damon and Affleck's scene verbatim, and they had waited 5 years for this to happen.
Oh,
and so they just like started weeping on
set. Joy of accomplishment.
Amazing.
Yes, when Robin Williams and Matt Damon were shooting the scene on the bench in the public garden, it seems like they're the only people in the park. However, due to Robin Williams being a massive star, at one point over 3,000 people were at the location watching the scene.
Wow.
3,000 people.
Yeah. I mean, if you had the chance to watch Robin Williams do that scene live,
of course.
Yeah, you're going to stand there and watch for like 3 hours.
No, I couldn't go. I was at a bar talking to my new wife.
I go see about a girl.
I thought this was really sweet. When Robin Williams won the Oscar for his supporting role, he sent, I'm going to butcher his name, Pierre Augustinski, who dubbed his voice in German, a small replica of the Oscar statue with a note saying, "Thank you for making me famous in Germany." And I just thought that was really, really sweet.
That's so sweet.
Dude, Robin Williams, man.
Just
so
the best sweet. Person ever.
What a heart.
Such a heart. So now we get to recast.
I got the power casting.
Oh, right, okay.
There we go.
All right, John. All right, John, give us
Let
a
us
cast.
Have it. Give it to us, but not like that.
So I'm going to go up, and I included some of the other mad artists.
Okay.
Just because there's some major roles that I think just need to be filled. I love this casting personally.
Cool.
I have Brett as Lambo.
Oh, I think Ooh. That's right. I think he'd be really good at that.
Well, we know we can get angry at Tyler.
Now, I have Morgan as Russell.
Mm. Oh, that's so accurate. Oh, my God.
Wait, who?
Morgan the little
delinquent
kid
that's always talking stuff.
Yeah, curly hair guy.
The guy who jerks off in his mom's house, remember?
If you're not Morgan, you're Chucky. Like, if you're not Morgan, you're Chucky.
100%.
I gave Skylar to Danielle.
I like her. I think she's cool.
She, for that era of script, I think she's a very well-written female role.
Yeah. Not only that, too, from an acting perspective, like you have to be so likable so quickly mm-hmm. because if the audience isn't in love with her, then it doesn't really
Then they're
work.
Not going to make sense. Exactly. They're not going to understand, which actually there were a bunch of fun facts. I didn't include them because the producer for this movie was Sketchman Harvey Weinstein, and I didn't feel like talking about him a whole ton. And most of the stuff that involved, like, you know, a lot of the movie involved him. And I was like, I don't really want to be talking about him all the time.
Yeah.
But but one big thing was that he didn't want Minnie Driver, who ended up playing Skylar, to be her because he didn't think that she was cute enough. And Matt Damon and Ben Affleck were like, we want her, so we're putting her in. Like, wow. She's getting cast. And then Damon and Driver ended up, I think, like, getting involved, like, during the movie or something. But he just didn't think that she was, like, attractive enough. And they were like, nah, screw you. We're casting her because she's awesome.
Yeah.
I have Sean as John, myself.
I think that's accurate. I think that could be really good.
And this is where I'm really proud of myself. I have Chucky as Tyler.
Oh, interesting.
Which one's Chucky? His
friend? Chucky is...
Ben Stiller?
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, yes.
Okay.
I put Will as Samuel.
I was actually thinking that Samuel needs to be Will for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be really, really good.
I love the idea of Tyler and Samuel doing that scene after the work day is done. and Tyler just busting Samuel's
If we
balls.
Are casting with just people from here, so if we take Brett out of the equation, I do think it would be really good to see you as Lambo and to see you as Chucky.
Because
I could also see you and Samuel doing that car scene so well.
I agree.
And, and so, like, if we take Brett out of the equation, then I think that would be, like,
perfect. That'd be killer.
But, so, drinking game for this. We need three rules.
Every time I cry, take a shot. No.
Every time Russell cries, take a drink.
Every time you see a math equation on screen, you have to take a drink.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Take a drink every time there's a math equation.
Yeah, that's a fair amount. That's
every time someone tells a joke, whether it be firsthand or secondhand, take a drink.
Every time you hear the phrase, time's up, you have to take a shot. Because that's only like maybe like three times that they say time's up.
Every time Robin Williams speaks, finish a bottle of alcohol.
Finish a bottle.
Let him conclude your drinking for the night.
What would be the finish your drink for this? Let me think.
Finish your drink when Bill Skarsgård's character tries to get...
Bill Skarsgård is Bill not... Skarsgård you're thinking of Stellan Skarsgård.
Whoops. Every
One
time,
of the Skarsgårds.
Every time Lambo tries to push Will...
Okay.
Finish your drink.
Oh my gosh, you're so bad. Okay. Every time that all four friends are in the car, finish your drink.
I think that's fair, because that only happens like maybe a couple times that all four friends are in the car.
Every time he has to push Will.
Will push Will to do the
finish thing. Your drink.
You are you bad. Drunk?
No, he's not drunk. Look at him.
I know he's not. He's 3 months sober.
All right, speed round. Favorite and least favorite moments from this.
Tyler, go first.
Oh, come on. favorite moment. I mean, it's so obvious. Of course, it's not your fault scene. That is, I'm going to cry thinking about it. I don't know. Well, you put me on the spot.
Do you want to come back to you?
Yeah, come back to me.
All right.
Okay.
Go.
My favorite moment by far is the scene where they're having the argument in her apartment.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
At school, when she's just like, tell me, look me in the eyes and tell me that you don't love me right now. Like, I know what's in your eyes. You can't lie to me.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't love you. Because that scene is so powerful and it's just like cuts right to your heart. It's definitely my favorite scene. My least favorite scene is that ridiculous scene where they're making a point of making fun of what's his name, the guy you cast me as, but what's his
Morgan.
Name?
Morgan.
Oh,
Morgan. Yeah.
For jerking off in the house. It's just like, what? Like, did we have to? Like, really?
I have my answer.
Okay.
Funny as it was, and even though I will continue to quote it, my least favorite scene, which is still a good scene, is when they were in the car and he bought the sandwich and he was just like, it's on layaway, you don't get your sandwich, and he kept messing with him. Because if that happened to me, it would bother me. And I was getting secondhand frustration. I was like, just give him the sandwich. Paid for it.
Anyway. Holy crap, that's your least favorite scene in the whole movie?
There's no bad scenes in this movie. So, yes, that's my least favorite scene.
Okay.
All right, John.
Least favorite movement right off the bat. I'm with Russell on that. The jacking off, it didn't do anything. No.
Like, I thought it was very funny.
Like,
it's kind of funny.
I'm going to give my favorite scene to the You Don't Know Anything Kid monologue on the bench.
Oh, so good.
With an honorable mention being the Ben Affleck or Chucky and Will's little back and forth of like, if you're still there, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah.
Scene. That's an honorable mention for me for sure.
So my least favorite. So I'm picking things that y'all haven't picked yet. My least favorite is hello.
I have one thing to say.
Okay, say it into one of the mics.
Ben Affleck.
Oh,
that's what he came here to say.
My God.
And then he opened the door. Good job. That's my husband. So
wow.
my least favorite to be different is because, you know, for me, it was the same as you guys. But to pick something different, just because for me, it was like kind of a little cringe was the slapping the phone number on the window and going, how do you like them apples? And then all of them like cheering and stuff. I was like, it's kind of cringe. And for me, it just didn't really hit. Like, people were laughing, and so I laughed because other people were laughing. And I was like, But I was like, it's a little cringe. And so that I would say that was probably just like my least favorite.
I loved it.
My favorite was it's a bit of a tie between the scene with Robin Williams and Matt Damon where he has the whole like she's not perfect but is she perfect for you kind of thing, mm-hmm. and the scene with the burning of the theorem and Lambeau just like trying to save it from the fire and put it out and yeah. saying you know there are days I wish I never met you because then I could sleep. Like, you know, and that just like that just powerful scene that they had with him just
the talented versus
just
the
defeated on the ground with this burned paper in his hand saying like, I wish I'd never met you so I could sleep because you could be somebody when I'm already the most that I'll ever be and people don't even know who I am. And it was just so good.
It's very powerful.
Such a good scene. But out of let's say out of 10. Oh gosh, 10 Hawaiian shirts because Robin Williams wore a lot of those. What would you rate Good Will Hunting?
Easy 10. Easy 10. This is one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think I have to agree. This movie, it just brings it so heavy in just the perfect way.
Yeah. Yes.
And so I gotta say, this one is a 10 as well for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 10 out of 10 Hawaiian shorts. This is a cornerstone movie for me. If you don't like this movie, I'm going to have a hard time trusting you. but it's a staple movie for me. I love it so much. 10 out of 10.
I mean, I have to agree. Last night I was sitting there and I was like, wow, we're going to come back from our little mini hiatus with a 10 out of 10 movie here.
With a banger.
Absolute banger.
It was so good. Even the moments that I didn't love, like yes. even those moments are not enough to bring it from a 10. No, like it's not enough to put it at a 9. It's not enough even to put it at like a 9.9. It's still a 10 in spite of the moments that I was just kind of like either cringed by or like where I was just like, you know, why'd you have to say that? Or like moments like that, it still wasn't enough to undo all of the good that was done.
I was
going to
say, even the extra and supporting actors like Tom and the professors, they didn't miss a beat either. Like that kind of stuff will normally bring a movie down. The writing, the cinematography, all of it was just
everything was so well done. This is an incredible movie. Now I understand why everyone references it and loves it all the time. It's amazing. But I think that is all that we have for today.
I believe so.
We are just about to open Next to Normal. We probably won't have another episode of this until after it's opened. So if you want some sort of content from us in the meantime, go see the show. You can, our ticket link is on our Instagram and Facebook at Mad Artist Entertainment. I've also posted it on the Mad Artist Twitter account, which is at @artist_mad. Myself and Tyler are in it, so that's awesome. And then Russell, John, and Samuel are going to be working either in the booth or backstage. We're all involved in it. It's going to be amazing.
Come say hi.
It's going to be such a good show. Please come out and see it. It's at Pump House in Cartersville.
If you enjoy the heavy and really kind of like thought-provoking psychological themes in Good Will Hunting, and you're okay with a darker subject matter, this is the show for you.
Yes.
It is also really, very big sad.
It is very big sad. It will make you cry, but in the best way possible.
It's gonna make you feel.
It has an ending that's gonna make you feel things. Mm-hmm. And if you want to hear Danielle and I harmonize on stage, come and see it.
It's awesome. It's gonna be great. Definitely not appropriate. So if you wouldn't show it, if you wouldn't show Good Will Hunting to your kids because they're too young, you wouldn't show this show to them because they're too young. Because there's a lot of very heavy themes, a lot of cursing.
The kids need to learn.
Leave us a review wherever you're listening. It helps us out a lot. If you have any comments, questions, corrections, or requests for us to review in the future, you can shoot us a message on social media or email us at bannerbox.madartists@gmail.com, and we will see you guys eventually. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much.